Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're going to be joined by a special guest, Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio out of Chicago. She'll join us to give you the update on what's happening, not only with the Bears, but the entire NFL playoff picture as the wild card round has concluded. And maybe the biggest winner ends up being in-state here with your Houston Texans. Dominant fashion last night. Destroying the Steelers, a fumble, a six by Sheldon Rankins, and then a pick six to make it a laugher. So far today, the reaction has been Mike Tomlin resigned as Steelers head coach. That news came down about 2 hours ago, sending shockwaves through the NFL and expanding out this head coach cycle story significantly more. I don't know. Do you guys think they can get something from Mike Tomlin in a trade? How much would you desire bringing in Mike Tomlin as compared to other candidates out there? And, what could that be worth for the Steelers? I think if it's, Sean Payton level compensation, that could be a significant boost to their rebuild. We got Carmen ready to rock. Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio, joining us now here in the G-Bag Nation. And a good afternoon, Carmen. How the heck are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How would you answer that question we were just talking about there with Mike Tomlin? Do you think the Steelers can get something in a trade for him?
I mean, stranger things have happened. I don't know about Sean Payton level compensation, but I believe that there's been kind of low-key 6th, 7th round kind of compensation that we've seen for coaches kind of across the league that either take a break from coaching for a year and come back like, Sean Payton did, or, going right into it. I don't know. I think that he's well-respected around the league, never had a losing season, obviously. That's got to be worth something to a franchise that's been struggling to find that kind of success.
Yeah, 19 years, an incredible run there, coming to an end for Mike Tomlin, at least in Pittsburgh. Their early reports are maybe he's going to look to do media for at least 1 year. But how are things going into Chicago? Are people now believing that this thing can happen there with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson and the Bears?
It's so funny because anytime a high-profile coach in the years past has become available, you hear whispers around Chicago like, ooh, what do you think it would take for the Bears to get him? Do you think the McCaskies would pay for that? Do you think this, that, the other? This is the first time, guys, that is not the case whatsoever. Everybody's like, nope, we got our guy. We're really happy with our guy. Y'all have fun in the coaching carousel. We're not on it this year.
What do you think is the best thing that Ben Johnson upgraded?
Honestly, there's so many things just from the ground up, and it sounds kind of cliche to say the culture, but he's brought this attitude into the building that hasn't existed before, and an expectation and a standard. He's a psycho, and I say that with love in my heart, guys. Guys really respond to him, and he's turned this team and this organization into one that is now known for its physicality at the line of scrimmage on the field, known for its belief in each other with these crazy fourth quarter comebacks. And there's an extreme attention to detail just in every facet of the building that it's a level of competency that the Bears have not had in a very long time as someone who has covered this team and watched this team all her life.
Have you purchased a good, better, best shirt?
I have not. I have not. That's not for my doing. I'm not going to show up in the media room of Hallis Hall or any other team, by the way, that I have to go visit with a good, better, best t-shirt. But I can promise you they are littering the streets here in Chicago. I mean, everybody, especially on game day, you walk down the street, you're going to Target, you're going to get a coffee. Everyone's in Bear stuff.
It's awesome. I mean, it was so fun to watch Soldier Field and the reaction to that comeback win and the Bears-Packers rivalry now. It's been fantastic, but the health of the team moving into round two hosting the Rams, the T.J. Edwards injury, Ozzie Trapillo, the left tackle. How are you looking ahead to this Rams matchup and how they can maybe mask some of that?
Yeah, I mean, we saw it when T.J. Edwards was out during the season. This is a very flawed defensive unit, right? And a lot of it has been kind of masked by these takeaways. Bears led the league in the regular season in takeaways. But it's not a very cohesive unit. And when T.J. Edwards was out, the run unit, the run defense unit, really, really struggled without him kind of being the point person in the middle. So You do have a guy in DeMarco Jackson that has some experience now stepping into that role. And he has done well when he's been, you know, in relief of TJ. But I still think that's kind of a blow to, again, a defense that is still very flawed. And then when you talk about Ozzie Chipillo, you know, he had really come on pretty strong towards the end of the season. They had tried to make the switch from right to left for him in training camp. It didn't go well, which is why he didn't start the season at that place. But for whatever reason, whether it was more mental reps, more physical reps in practice, he was able to kind of take over and like towards the end of the season and play some really solid ball at that left tackle position. So I know they brought up Braxton Jones from IR, but that is a guy that failed to win that position outright in training camp. He was firmly in the battle for that before he got injured. So it's going to be interesting to see, but you also have the best possible escape artist under center and Caleb Williams that, you know, and I know Ben Johnson also, he leans on that jumbo package. He brings out extra protection. He very much prioritizes the offensive line scheme and the blocking scheme. So I think they'll be okay. But this Rams team, man, they've got a hell of a defensive front and they've got a pretty complete offense starting with that veteran in Matthew Stafford that can score some points on you.
Carm, if you had to play the first half or the second half better, which one are you going to play? You're going to play one half well. Just kind of which one do you want?
If you're going to play one half well, it sure as heck better be the second half, and that's been the Bears' MO. In fact, it hasn't even been the second half. It's literally been the fourth quarter. That being down 21-3, man, to the Packers, I still didn't believe that they were going to come back despite everything I'd seen in the regular season until McManus missed that 44-yard field goal, and I was like, oh, God, here we go.
Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports here with you. It looks like the Bears have done a pretty good job limiting, you know, the motion offenses from exploiting them with that eye candy, if you're looking for reasons to believe they could slow down McVay.
Yeah, I mean, you've got guys like Tremaine Edmonds in the middle of the field. You've got some ball hawks with Kevin Byard in the safety and Jaquan Brisker as safeties in the backfield that have played a lot of ball, that are very good players, and yeah, they're not going to be necessarily fooled by that. Not to mention, the Bears actually, and this isn't the case in with every team, but in practice, they have a period every single day where the ones go against the ones. And you know what other offense runs a lot of motion and does a lot of window dressing and eye candy? Ben Johnson's offense. Mm-hmm. So this defense is very well equipped to go against a team like that, because they've been doing it all season. And again, I have to stress, that's not the case for a lot of teams where you get these periods of the ones going against the ones. It's usually the offense going against the scout team defense and the defense going against the scout team offense. That's not always like that. The Bears have made a concerted effort. Ben Johnson has made a concerted effort to make sure that his defense can defend his offense. So I think that's going to help them in this case, but I do think that the Rams, with all the experience and with the ways that McVay evolves his offense and evolves really the offense in the entire league as a tastemaker in that way, it's going to be a challenge.
Carm, it seemed like they were going after Kyler Gordon that game the other day. Is his health been a big question mark? I know coming back, I think he was banged up a little bit, but where is he at with the nickel situation?
Yeah, that's been kind of a real big inconsistency this season, where even when they tried to bring him back earlier in the season, he lasted a game, got re-aggravated the injury, and then he was out, and that was all very last minute, and it kind of threw Dennis Allen's unit for a loop. So he, for all intents and purposes, you know, he's been out for a while, and this game against the Packers, he came back, but you know, you're shaking the rust off. You're trying to trust yourself again. That's hard to do in season in a playoff environment. Yeah. So I think the Packers were right to absolutely try to attack that area of the field. And I think that the Rams will do the same thing. I think health-wise, he's okay. But it's more, you guys know, it's more than just the physical, like, health. It's, hey, do I trust myself, especially when you've suffered multiple setbacks this season? How much is that in the back of your mind as you're playing? And that's the question.
Is Colston Loveland, the rookie tight end, is he like now the focal point of the passing attack?
Yeah, him and Caleb Williams' relationship has just blossomed beautifully. And, you know, Roma Dunze missed a few games at the end of the season. I think that's when you really saw Caleb be like, all right, this is my guy. And tight ends can always be kind of those safety blankets four quarterbacks, and that's why Ben Johnson likes to use them so much. But what's different, I think, about Colston Loveland is just how natural his hands are, how natural of a receiver he is. In those goal line situations, those low red zone situations where Ben Johnson likes to kind of load up the line, be a little bit more physical, put some extra blockers out there, you're going with those jumbo personnel, those big bodies, and you're putting two, three tight ends on the field. Usually you have to then sacrifice receivers for that. But when you have a guy like Colston Loveland who can catch like a receiver, run routes like a receiver, that really presents so many mismatches for a defense trying to defend that. And that's how Colston Loveland's been used. And I mean, we've seen him all over the field. We've seen him split out wide, go down the field, be that downfield target. This guy can do everything. And I'm old enough to remember when everybody chastised the Bears for not taking Tyler Warren. And at the time I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust the guy that drafted and developed Sam Laporta in Detroit. I know that he knows what he's looking for in the tight end position, and he hit a home run, as Caleb Williams said it after the game on Saturday night. He hit a home run with Colston Loveland.
Hand raised, Carm. I was chastising. I was a big Tyler Warren fan, but boy, has Ben Johnson had a plan for Colston Loveland, and I'm glad that's worked out. So from a Cowboys perspective, I know we've talked with you previously about Matt Eberflus. Well, that did not go well for us over here. What's some of the buzz you're hearing around the league as the defensive coordinator search continues, but also in relation to all this head coaching shakeups across the league?
Yeah, I mean, you have some defensive guys, right, that are going to be available. It's a matter of, are they going to be looking at head coaching positions? Because what's been interesting over the last couple of cycles now is, you know, where it used to be that everybody was going after the offensive guy, I think you've seen an uptick in organizations hiring these defensive guys for the head coaching position, trusting them to hire, you know, the up-and-coming offensive coordinator and make things work in that way. So I think there's a lot more competition when you're talking about trying to fill a defensive coordinator position, because a lot of these guys are getting head coaching looks, whereas maybe that wasn't the case a few years ago. So I'm all for it. I am a defensive girl. I did grow up in Chicago, after all, so I didn't have a whole lot of offense. This is all new to me for the Chicago Bears. So I'm a huge proponent of getting that defensive hire right and maybe even making him your head guy. So it'll be really interesting for the teams like the Cowboys that have defensive coordinator openings. I think you're going to have to wait a little bit to see who's actually going to be on the market and who is going to be getting these head coaching looks.
As somebody that grew up in Chicago, what else can you tell us about this Bears-Packers rivalry? Like, I'm just getting a full, I think, a better context and appreciation of it.
Yeah, guys, it's honestly, I mean, I'm biased, but I've always called it the best rivalry in the four major North American sports. It's just, it's so all-encompassing. It's so all-consuming for the city, and it's been so lopsided my entire life. I mean, I watched the Green Bay Packers go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, then to Jordan Love. I watched, you know, them win the Super Bowl. I watch and covet that success that hasn't been achieved here in Chicago in 40 years. So it's been kind of a big brother, little brother thing, which is ironic given how small Green Bay is as an actual city and how big Chicago is. But man, I mean, you've seen the way that Ben Johnson has bought into the rivalry. You've seen the way the players have bought into the rivalry. And that's so rare these days just because of how fluid these teams are in their construction, how much coaches get hired and fired. It's like, how do you take that stance when you're part of this coaching brotherhood, right? And it really all has to do with the McCaskey family, you know, formerly the Hallis McCaskey family, that has just prioritized winning against Green Bay above almost everything else other than a Super Bowl. I mean, that's the first thing George McCaskey will tell you. I've had conversations with George myself where I had gotten back from Italy last year and I saw him at Combine and he asked me how to say Green Bay sucks in Italian. And I'm not proud of this, but I don't know that I told him the right word because I didn't know sucks. I knew the word above sucks.
Okay.
So I kind of taught him how to say that, but this is what you're dealing with in Chicago, and it's so cool that it's now a real rivalry and there's actual stakes involved. The city, I mean, that's why Soldier Field was shaking on Saturday night. The press box, the water bottles were all going crazy. I mean, it was such a cool environment because not only was it the playoffs, it was the Green Bay Packers, and everybody wants to beat the Green Bay Packers here.
Well, Carm, you're going to get that matchup, Super Bowl, you and New England. Get ready for it.
Did you see me tweet that?
I did.
Absolutely, did. Like, you're a great follow, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I've been saying that very quietly, like whispering when I knew the Bears were making the playoffs. I'm like, watch the Packers and the Bears end up in the Super Bowl on the 40th anniversary of Super Bowl 20. And now I'm like, oh, my God, is this going to happen?
I love it, Carm. Thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the ride up there.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great day.
Cheers. Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports Radio, here with you in the G-Bag Nation on the Fan Chief.
Did she say it?
I think she did.
I think she did, too.
She was talking about the quarterbacks.
Mama gave me 11 flop chicks, and Mama take away 5 of them flop chicks, so we'll stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
Hey, by the way, our guy Rowdy Tellez, he's on foul territory again.
He said, call me fat.
F that Dawson and Chiafalo guy. And by the way, I'm going to represent Team Mexico in the 2026 World Baseball Classic.
Okay, well, best of luck to him.
But he's still a free agent. He's not back with the Rangers.
Did he have barbecue sauce on his face when he was saying it?
He did. He was wiping it off the mustache.
With the bread as the napkin.
Mm-hmm. Maybe playing for his country will inspire him to finally get in shape, you know, for the first time
or
in his professional career.
Or he'll look at his other teammates and feel okay.
No, but seriously, man. When he gets in.
Unbelievable. And salute to Rowdy, runner-up for G-Bag of the Year, which concluded on Friday. And Bobby Bell ended up taking that thing down, so congrats once again to Bob. We got the C-note. Cowboy arrested, nothing burger. It's coming up next here on 105 Through the Fan. Welcome back. It's time for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening here on the Fan. The 504 asking, hey, General, why didn't you offer Rowdy a bucket or two of them orange magic wings of yours, LOL? That's a good question, 504. Several things I regretted about that day, and that just moved into the top five.
I think it's because you smoke them and you don't fry them.
That's right. That's right. Although frying them could be special. I gotta see if I can add a step there at the end.
I know, like, my favorite spot, Local Craft Barbecue in Newark, they will smoke their wings and then deep fry them in the tallow.
My goodness.
You just really can't beat that.
That sounds amazing.
The smoke-fry combo is really undefeated.
Yeah, let's have a little road trip. That frying can add some serious cleanup, some serious effort, but it'll pay off for you.
Seals everything in.
Okay. All right. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. That's the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. There's also folks saying that Bobby attempted to vacate the G-Bag title. He said bleep G-Bag and the fake award because he wasn't a real five-time G-Bag of the Day champion. And that's fine if he doesn't want the trophy, but history will state from our perspectives he is your 2025 G-Bag of the Year, and congratulations to him for that.
Congrats, Bobby. Well-deserved.
Yeah. Happy for you,
Bob.
That
was voted on by the Tolos, so he's basically turning his back on the Tolos, right?
There's an element of that,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
It's been some regrettable things he's done,
and
that moves into his top five. Okay, Tommy Yarsh just posted Deron Bland had successful surgery on his foot, so that is good news. I think the hope is that foot injury slowed him down or prevented him from bouncing back to where he could. He hit incredible highs, incredible lows, and you're like, okay, maybe he's never going to get back to 11 interceptions. Was that what it was, or was it 6 pick sixes? Like
it was the pick sixes. The 11 picks is what Diggs had.
Okay, so yeah, out of all the Cowboys who will be back that had disappointing seasons, that guy's got to be top of the list. If you could pick any Cowboy that had a disappointing 2025 to get back to where he was 2026, I'll take Deron Bland. I'll keep my fingers crossed that's still possible. But if not, contract structured in a way that next year would be Deron Bland's final season with the Cowboys if he doesn't ball out.
Which is good. I mean, that just in case, just to give you that wiggle room, much like they were able to move off of Diggs. But, yeah, I guess, you know, anytime you're talking about a foot issue, and Jerry alluded to this, I'm not a doctor, but I don't like that at all. I don't like the sound of that. You have to watch feet relative to the future. I'm with you 100%, though. Given that Bland is under contract and there's so much uncertainty now with that corner spot, if I could pick anybody on the roster to get back to form, I think you nailed it with Deron Bland.
Okay, then you know how I feel about edge and middle linebackers, a big need as well. But what are we doing at 12 relative to corner? If you assume one of those teams in the top 11 is going to want a corner, I haven't studied the team needs yet, but it would be a surprise if all three of the first round corner so far would make it to 12. I imagine Delane will be gone because he's healthy and full size.
I think Delane will be the first one off, yeah.
Do you think you'll get your pick of McCoy and Terrell? And do you think the Cowboys will even consider Terrell, considering he's a shorter guy?
I think they will consider him because of, and we've talked about this before, his versatility. his ability to play on the outside, to play on the inside. Jerry talked about how they didn't replace Jordan Lewis. So you might want to think about a guy that can go, it could go inside and play that way. Man, that would be, because I think we talked about this yesterday, if I'm right, of what position we think could maybe stretch. You know, I mean, we're on so many platforms now, but what position do you feel like that at 20 you could get? I mean,
it's going to get to you.
Trust me, I'd love to have McCoy, and I think he'll probably be there when you pick at 20.
Okay.
Because I do think he's going to get a clean bill of health. I think he's going to work out.
Yeah, it's just an ACL.
I think everything's going to be about it. It's not going to be a bunch of questions about him when we get to – I mean, he's probably going to work out in April. You know, you'll see what's the speed, how's he moving around. You'll get the medical report. But I just have a feeling that, people will take – they'll look – if someone goes early, I think it's going to be Delane. But I might wait this thing out to 20 to see who's there. And you mentioned Terrell because he's a little bit – he's a 180-pound guy. But, gosh, we were wrong about his brother.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of threw a tag on his brother about, oh, he can't do this, can't do that. This guy might be better than his brother.
Elsewhere on the C-note, Donovan Ezeraku arrested for reckless driving, detained for a short period, released on $500 bond. You know, I think – this would be, like Lucius talks about how tough it is to have a son, this would be the most terrifying thing about having a son in the NFL who's young and is going to get a fast car. And how do you not rip that thing up the toll road just a little bit? Just a little weave in and out of traffic. Next thing you know, you're pulled over for reckless driving. That's what I assume what was happening. Maybe doing 110, 120, something like that.
If I'm going to reckless drive, I'm going to do it on the George Bush.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more space. I think if I lost control of it, I could... You start doing things on the tollway, that gets a little crazy, a little narrow.
Well, I tell you what, on Bush, there's a couple of zones where they got like these rolling hills that almost feel like you're bouncing, especially if you're in a bigger truck.
I just feel like that and the Sam the Rayburn.
Sam Rayburn,
that's another
Sam
one.
Rayburn, yes.
Got a little bit more.
Like in that stretch from about toll to 75.
Sure.
There's not a lot of people there, you know, unless you're in peak hours. Yeah. I could do that. I'm not too concerned, you know. I think, obviously, if you're the parent, you're like, dude, let's not be reckless driving. I can't afford to, you know.
Somewhere Sam Williams is laughing at him right now.
Having to visit in the hospital somewhere. But not a big deal. I'd be willing to put up with quite a bit more of that if he could go get the quarterback about 10, 12 times next year.
Nice.
That's the most important thing. I'm just kind of shocked it was Ezeraku, because on the spectrum of players that you would anticipate could be reckless, impulsive driving guy, it seems like Ezeraku's like academic in his approach.
Mm-hmm. 10-2.
Yeah, he seems like the 4.0 GPA guy.
Yeah, I mean, definitely seemed like an out-of-character type of decision, but I think we've all gone a little too fast at times. I mean, I don't know how fast he was going, but I'll admit it, I've got a bit of a heavy foot. Not a surprise.
Not an upset. Everybody was calling out his weight that was listed, too.
Was that 110 pounds? What would it say?
220.
220?
But I'm wondering, is that just from the driver's license? Like, they just take what's on your... I think does your driver's license have that on there?
I can see that.
Or because I'm like, there's no way he stepped on a scale and currently weighs 220 pounds as an NFL edge rusher.
They don't weigh you when you go to jail.
They don't.
No.
Do you know from experience?
Well,
I've been to jail a couple of times. They never weighed me.
Yeah, I guess.
Do they just
take your word for it? Like,
no,
whatever's on your license.
Well, like a Texas license, like mine only has the height.
I think he's probably got a Massachusetts one.
So maybe they put the weight on there.
Where you just say I'm 220.
Yeah.
Boston ladies don't care.
No.
You put their weight on there.
Yeah, they're happy to have those.
Everybody knows the Dunkin' Donuts right around the corner. Everybody gets it.
A17 says
Patriot jerseys big, you know.
817 says you want to rip down the 635 toll underneath. That's how I get here.
Yeah. That's how I get here.
Yeah, you can go flying. I have seen a couple of speed traps down there, which I thought was unfair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. I told Volchuk about that one, right?
There's nobody within 100 yards. I want to have the right to gun that thing if I want to. We'll go 75 to 35.
$4 of getting here in a hurry.
No doubt about it. Now, I personally was a maniac when I was a kid behind the wheel. We did this thing. It was a surfing term called shooting the curl. You know, when they get in there and the wave comes over the top of them and they're in that little tunnel.
Sit down in that little pocket.
That's what we called like the gap between the back fender of one vehicle and one fender in the front of it. And you know, you could see kind of how you could just kind of slide through there. Mm. It's not, you're not really changing lanes as much as you're diagonally shooting that curl,
right?
You know, and it was, I think I'd come off a summer where I was in Southern California, like trying to learn how to boogie board, and I failed miserably. Mm. Ate a lot of sand that summer. But I brought that term back with me and applied it to driving. So we'd be driving like Portland to Seattle and back and forth, just a complete idiot. And I had a Datsun 510 wagon. I had a Ford Escort GT 88, blew through that thing in like 6 months. Clutch and brakes just burned up the engine. I think I ultimately cracked the block. And then I just beaters, right? And then I had like an 86 Honda Accord there for a while, but we'd get the most out of it. And I'd be lying if I told you I was, you know, I should be here. You know, there were some really, really questionable decisions being made out there on the highway. And that was with beater cars. You know, you put me in one of these, what are they driving these days? Porsches, 911, Ferraris, you know, these players, they, you know, they get these high-powered
Chargers,
vehicles.
Yeah.
You want to see what it can do. I'm not crazy. Crazy for weaving in and out of traffic like that.
Yeah,
I should have done it.
But you want to see, hey, what do I got? You got a Hemi?
Take them out to Texas Motor Speedway.
Absolutely. There you go.
Do a couple of laps out there. Get you an instructor. You want to do it the responsible way. Mailbag question on DallasCowboys.com. Let me swing through there and ask you guys a great question they had. Oh, maybe we should have left more time for this one. But anyway, how many years are left in Dak Prescott's prime?
Three.
Okay.
Maybe seven.
I could see that. He's coming up on 33. He's going to be 36. He's coming up on 34. Yeah, he'd be 36.
Is he?
In 3 years from now.
I'm going to say three.
Yeah, I'll stick with three.
Would you guys have any appetite for a take that maybe he's already past his prime?
Absolutely not. I don't have the appetite for it. He just played his best
football, you're saying that maybe at 12 you look at one of these quarterbacks?
You think he is?
I do think he's past his prime, but still he might be playing his best football. Like, he can't run like he did. That injury took something off of him. I think his mind is definitely in its prime, and that's not going to trend the other way. But I think if you took away the weapons and protection from Dak Prescott, he could still really, really struggle in a way that maybe a quote-unquote prime quarterback would not, because he can mitigate pressure with his legs and everything. I don't know if he's given you that. You know, now obviously he's not where Aaron Rodgers is at that point in his career. And last night, if you only watched that game from a Steelers perspective of the entire year, that was maybe the most mobile he looked all season long, but still not capable of extending plays and, you know, making the magic that he punished the Cowboys with so early in his career. But I would say, look, Joe Flacco was cooking with the Bengals, and he's, what, 41? Dak Prescott will be able to do that as long as you protect him. I think you could have 8 years left playing at the level that he just saw, even though I do think he's a little past his prime.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mental side of it, absolutely. Like, we even saw that with Romo. Like, Romo was at his best when it comes to just, like, understanding of what defenses want to do, just being in total command at the end there. Unfortunately, his body physically gave out on him. And I was wondering if Dak was kind of going in the same path, but fortunately this year he played all 17 games, and he definitely moved around the best since the injury happened. So I don't, to your point, he's never going to get that back to what he had in those days in Mississippi State, where he was just running around and was an absolute badass dual threat quarterback. But physically, he probably is in the best shape that we've seen him in since that injury, which has me very optimistic that maybe he has a chance to extend this thing even past the 3-year window. But I think 3 years would be safe, and I'd love it if the Cowboys operated it like, okay, we got this period. Now's the time to go cash in and capitalize on it. Because even seeing all the cap hell stuff the Eagles supposedly are going to be in with all the void years. One, I'll believe it when I see it.
I heard
the same thing again with the Carson Wentz deal. They got out of that, made two Super Bowls, won one. And you know what? It's still worth it. They got a Lombardi trophy. I'd love to be in salary cap hell in 2035 because the Cowboys ended up going and winning a championship.
Amen. 469 says he hit 145 in his 2017 Civic Type R on the toll under 635. I don't know if that's a beater or if that's like the super sweet Civic, but doing 145 in it, he says, not my best moment. Yeah, it's not advisable.
I'm surprised. What, 2017?
Yeah.
I bet you that thing was rattling like he was on a rocket ship going to space, you know?
Some of them get super souped up and reinforced.
Yeah, I mean, we got a fin on the back of that thing so you don't go flying through the air?
Probably. Yeah. 817 Crescent Road Track in South Fort Worth is a playground for rich people and their toy cars. That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, Brian, where are we going next?
Yeah, I've always got some questions for my guys, and we'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan and time for Krusty's Corner with Broadus. This segment brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty is going to teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Always appreciate you playing that. Thank you to Greystone as well for being a part as well, too. Got a lot of things going on platform-wise, right? Woolchuck, Stack.
Yeah, we got our new episode out.
The Stack.
It was a hell of an episode.
We got Love of the Star stuff that we posted. We got a lot of things going on about this draft. I know Dawson's got a lot of things going on with his draft stuff. So just kind of...
I'm loving it. I'm having so much fun.
I love talking about the draft. I really do. It's my favorite time of the year. I appreciate our bosses here on 105.3 The Fan letting us talk about it, us getting into the big board reports and stuff with the two first-round picks. This will be fun this year, the combines, all the things that we're
going to... I'm thinking about going.
Yeah, to the combine?
To the draft.
To the draft?
Oh, that'd be awesome. You should.
It is...
road trip, let's go.
Is it in Pittsburgh,
right? It's in Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shack up with new beer.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't think I can do that.
Snoring.
He's got four kids in that house. Just listening in the background of the podcast sometimes, I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know if I could do that.
That's what makes podcasting fun, when you get the background noise. You just never know what's happening, you know? You just never know.
I love it when the dads, like, break character and yell at their kids.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Like, or I'll tell you what the one Wolchek does. He'll look over. I can tell.
Yeah.
He's, like, looking at me, and then the next thing you know, he'll look over. Like, no, please don't pick that up, or please don't come in here.
Oh, you can tell?
I can tell.
Yeah.
I can absolutely tell.
Eliza, the terrible twos are hitting. I told you guys this off air. I cannot look away for a second. This girl is getting into everything. Yeah. It is absolutely crazy. She says more and more words by the day.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got, like, the look on her face now.
Yeah.
Like, she knows she's doing something she shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
She does not care that mom or dad say no. She's going to do it anyway, and then she's going to turn around and laugh at me. Like, ha, ha, what are you going to do about it?
Speaking of laugh at me, had lunch today with Chief, with Whataburger coming in. Thanks again for Travis Hill and those guys.
Seriously.
I love you.
Having lunch with Chief, I'm always amazed of how he's able just to deconstruct two burgers and then make them into one.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a burger golem.
And just, he's got this knack for being able to unhook the jaw and then just wolf that thing.
The talent.
Down.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, and I hadn't had the Monterey Melt before.
Really good.
I can't believe that. Really I just had never had it before. That is easily one of my favorite burgers at Whataburger.
Anytime I hear the word Monterey, I think this is going to be good and a little spicy.
Yeah.
Oh, with the Monterey Jack cheese and stuff like
that. But it had just like the right amount of kick to it.
Yeah.
It's the only burger that's going to rival the sweet and spicy for me. I'm going to have to add it into the rotation.
It's beautiful. But yeah, thanks again to Whataburger for coming out and hanging out with us. Great partners. Dawson, have these playoff games made you feel any differently about how you need to construct your roster?
I mean, it definitely makes me feel like the priority should go on defense a little bit harder.
Yeah, I like what you're saying here.
And I was actually going to ask you guys, do you think it's possible the Cowboys will still just take a tackle because they want to protect Dak and offense so much? It's so TV friendly. I think this is a test for... are they seeing it the same way, or do they see engagement farming as like your ticket to big TV ratings and exciting shootouts? You know, if you want to win, you're going to spend both these ones on defense, but I'm not sure the Cowboys are going to do that.
I kind of wonder if, in fact, because Zach and I, again, were talking about this with Aisha Morrison, about at 12, if you move back, could you move back thinking that, all right, we got wiped out at defensive end. We didn't like what the defensive end was there at 12.
Sure,
yeah.
We got wiped out at corner. would you consider moving back a couple of spots and taking Mauinoa, the Miami tackle? You know, would you say?
Yeah.
I think to me, I'm looking defense the whole time at 12, but all of a sudden, if I start losing my guys,
yeah,
I'm going to try and back that thing up and maybe now like think, okay, I'll just grab, I think Mauinoa, Miami, the tackle, might be the best player on the board.
And I think that's a good point because I feel like there's at least around 15 to 18 really good players.
Yeah.
So you could move back from 12 and get a similarly good player at 15, 16,
yeah,
and pick up extra draft capital. I would be a big fan of that idea.
But that's if we got wiped out on defense, Zach.
Which I don't think is going to happen.
Yeah, like personally. How many dudes do you guys have that you feel like you wouldn't want to trade out if he's there?
Like, I was looking at the top of the 11 teams in front of us, and like Washington, I think, is the team that's most secondary needy.
You know what? Real quick, Zach, if Delane's there, I might not move.
And I think he's going to be. I do. I think you're going to have your chance at the top corner. And at worst, maybe one goes. And could that end up being one of the other guys?
Yeah.
Maybe it is Delane. Maybe McCoy checks off all the boxes. McCoy, I think all three of us are in agreement. He's got the best tape.
Yeah.
If you go watch him against Ryan Williams, freshman year in Alabama, who is insane, he was really the only corner that I saw that handled him. He was fantastic. But Delane is, I mean, they're right there. I mean, that's a tremendous consolation prize if that's where you want to go. So I think they're going to be in a good position. But to your point, if I have the option to move down, now I feel like, okay, I've added a third or I've added a second. And I can go ahead and get a linebacker there in that second day two pick. I think there's going to be safeties that we like. There's probably still going to be even corners maybe that stretch.
Yeah.
Maybe we feel better about an Akeem Mezidor at edge or one of these other options, a Zion Young from Mizzou or name the player there. But then I do feel like I've got more flexibility to where if I want to take my offensive tackle, I can. And I haven't, you know, got myself in such a, I don't have a day two pick now to where if I'm passing on a defensive player, how am I really improving that side of the football?
Dawson, you've seen Bailey, Texas Tech edge, right?
Yeah.
You've seen Delane, cornerback LSU.
Yeah.
Which one would you take?
Delane.
Yeah.
We can't get open on this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, all the pass breakups, I don't think he's going to be the most physical player. I don't think he's got, like, big-time takeaway ability, but I think he's just going to blanket cover guys. And
yeah.
Bailey, there's some risk there taking an edge. I think he has some great moments. I like his size. I like his moves. Like, there's a lot of refinement that's happened for Bailey, and he's very worthy of it. But I'm just picking between two really good players.
How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, I think Delane might be just ahead of Bailey on the stack.
On your stack, yeah.
Yeah, I would go Reuben Bain over Delane.
Okay.
I would take Delane over Bailey.
Okay. Chief.
But I can come back at 20 for sure.
Yeah.
Get me an edge.
I'm thinking McCoy might be there at 20.
Yeah, and that'd be a steal.
He's the injured guy, right?
And Dawson,
yes.
Dawson brought it up yesterday, double dipping for the corner.
Yeah.
You know, if you had to.
Well, I saw a mock draft today. Cowboys double dipped at linebacker. They went Sonny
Styles
and Allen. Or no, it was Sonny Styles, Anthony Hill Jr.
Wow.
But you could do it with Styles and Allen, too, probably,
if you wanted to.
And now it's like, all right, I'm kind of fixed to linebacker.
I kind of feel like I'm taking two second-round
guys. Two the same guys?
Second-round guys.
Yeah, I got Styles as a one. I like Styles
I know
you do.
I know.
But yeah, I hear you.
Chief, I'm going to ask you that question. Let me switch to another question. If you had to decide between Harbaugh and Tomlin, who would you choose as your head coach?
That's tough. I view them pretty equally. I don't know who I'd rather have. I feel like they're very, very similar and a little bit more of the CEO style.
Do you feel like either one of them guys have some really handle on what offensive football is?
No, I think...
And have a better handle on what defensive football is?
Yeah.
I would wonder which one of them would have a better offensive staff.
I know, and I think Harbaugh probably would, like the Todd Monken stuff was, you know, it had been pretty good the last couple of years,
yeah,
with Lamar Jackson. And Tomlin, the offense, the quarterback, and the play callers that he decides to go in with, are just never what you really want.
Yeah, like he doesn't have a good handle on it.
Yeah, yeah, and that's probably a good point, and that's probably the deciding factor there. Like, it seems like John Harbaugh has a better understanding for which type of coordinators I should be getting in today's day and age as opposed to Tomlin, especially when it comes to the offensive side of the ball.
Tomlin has played it so safe, like, we just don't want to turn it over, and we're going to win this game 17-13 with the other quarterbacks. And then Rodgers comes in, and to complicate it, he lets Rodgers pass way too much.
Wow.
Like, they weren't balanced like they needed to be. And the thing I would prefer with Harbaugh is that he appears to hire coordinators and then empower them to do what they want. Like, Arthur Smith is over here trying to do what he does in the context of don't turn the ball over, don't throw the ball over the middle of the field, and let Aaron Rodgers do whatever he wants. Like, there wasn't a lot of leadership. And the leadership that did come from Tomlin on the offense constrained it too much. You know, so you're committing to boring football. We're going to win by not turning it over. Mm-hmm. And as he's proven for 19 seasons, that's good enough to never have a losing season if that's true. What you're optimizing around.
How about you, Willie, real quick on that one?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Yeah. I think that I would take my initial reaction was Tomlin. And I get it with all the coaching stuff. That makes a lot of sense. If he can go somewhere that has a quarterback, does that end up masking it? Because at the end of the day, 19 years, yeah, and you don't have a losing record.
Yeah.
Like, that dude's always maximizing, at least from the outside looking in, what he's got on the roster. But I think probably both do have some awards. I mean, the thing that came up to me for Harbaugh is all the blown leads. Like, the last handful of years, it seems like, how many times are the Ravens up big and they find a way to lose a game? I think some of that has to go on him.
Everybody's going to love Tomlin, the ultimate leader of men. Yep. You know, I think, you know, he could have a tremendous amount of success. But if I was the front office, I would say we want some authority here guiding what the offense is going to do.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian. 2 hours down, 3 to go here. It's the G-Bag Nation on the Fan. There's a Pickens contract projection out. We'll talk about that coming up at 4:20. Little mixed bag coming up next with a little football fix. I need a fix, Wolchuk. Where are we going?
All right, let's get this fix in. Jags reporter clapping back. More on the Steelers' future and a sad Cowboys stat. That's next in the Nation.